I'm here for, oh, okay, hi. I just up here talking to myself, doing my thing. Those were the men taking pictures and being loud. Tommy and the gentlemen, your voices are loud. Thanks, babe. So, welcome back. Well, I say welcome back. I was not around. The men were doing their thing, and I heard some laughs, so that's good. My husband, you know, he does whatever he wants. He was like, yo, we're just going to take 15 minutes from these wives. That's what they do. They take our time. It's all good, babe. It's all good. So that said, we're going to get into it with the ladies, and I will be introducing Erica Campbell, married 20-some-odd years. I can't keep track. They're going to come out when they come out, okay? Gillian White, wife to Michael, who y'all heard, you know, is obsessed with her, rightfully so. They're adorable. Okay, yes. Yes. And Queen Shireen Kirkendall, wherever you want to be. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Listen. That was the same reaction to Shireen on Black Love season 5, okay? Okay, clearly there's a fan club here, but like, yes, in the world.
In the world.
Okay, she has been dubbed Queen Shireen.
I love it.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
And I love it, I love it. So, okay, I know one of the things that's heavy on my mind right now, but yes, so let's get into it, right? I've been married 6.5 years, and we have five kids. We have 3 kids.
I was like, you got something to tell us?
Like, yes,
Tommy. Did that happen?
There's 5 of them. I have to talk to you about the newest set of twins.
Twins again.
But we've got 3 kids, and we have been doing this Black Love thing for the entirety of our relationship. And some of y'all know we met and moved in after 3 months and got married shortly thereafter. And for me, like, the juggle and the struggle of doing all the things so quickly is like a huge challenge for me. But, and I'm not saying each of you did it the same way, but like, how do you feel about, or what do you see with regard to like trying to quote unquote have it all, like have your life and your success and your children and balancing being a wife, and how much of that do you think your boo actually recognizes and appreciates?
Good question. Good question. I will say I've seen people do it many ways. I saw my aunt and uncle, same story, like 3 months, get married. They stayed married like 50 years, right? And then I've seen people take their time and date for a long time and get married, and 6 months later they're divorced. So I don't think it's a matter of the right way to do it. I think the mindset that you have and the way you view love and relationship is super important. The hard thing about it, about love and relationship in 2021, this is the only thing that supports love. It's like everything else you watch is very single-minded, very individualistic, very self-serving, self-absorbed, all about me, what I want, what I need, what you can do for me. It's like there's a married language and there's a single language, and people are sometimes in relationship, married, and still speaking single language. My husband, you know, was sharing some things like us becoming best friends and sharing our bank accounts weren't things that we started out doing. Now, we were young. He was 20 and I was 23 when we met. Dated for 5 years, then got married, and all the ups and downs that came in it. I'm churchy, so I was like, Lord, you need to tell me beforehand, is this him? Because I don't feel like falling in love. I don't want to say yes. I just didn't feel like it. I'd already been engaged twice. And so my story is interesting because it could be looked at as like, oh, everything was great. But to me, love is a fight. You know, you make up in your mind that this is what I want. And even when you get on my nerves, I'm staying right here. I'm not going anywhere because I made a commitment. And I believe that I married the right person. And I'm not married just for me. I'm married for legacy. That's how I think. I think in terms of team, in terms of when I'm gone, what is this love going to say to the world? What will my children say about our love after this? So it's not very, I'm mad, I'm leaving. It's so much more involved. Even when we went through our stuff, I was like, It's we got too much. This is too much to separate. Music, kids, marriage, ministry. There's so many things. And I was like, am I selfish and say just me and I'm a leave? Or do I say, how do we get past this and get to forever? It's so many things involved in getting to that place.
How do you find yourself in all the things?
I think for me, it was asking for help.
So we moved, and you guys know the story, we moved from New York when I was pregnant, or when I had just had CJ, and I think I felt very isolated because I was by myself. We moved for him. He was going to work every day. So he's getting the opportunity to meet people. He's coming home excited. And I'm like, oh, you going out again? You're not gonna stay home with me and this baby that I'm here all day with and I don't have anyone to talk to? Yeah. But I think for me, I needed to take a step back. And I was like, I need to approach this the way my husband's approaching it. When he has something to do, he tells me, and then he goes about his business. I need to take that kind of same advice and stop waiting for him to give me permission to,
That's so good.
Yeah, to, take back my womanhood and take back, Shireen and not be Shireen the mom. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to take your approach. So when I had girls trips, I'm like, hey, this is the weekend. I'm going out of town, so figure out what you're going to do with your baby.
Okay.
Not your baby.
I feel like from my observation that you're really good at that. I don't know if you would agree, but for me, intellectually, I know what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do it like he would do it. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you this is where I'm going to be. But in practice,
right?
I feel like a lot falls on us. And I'm curious, for sure. Especially, Gillian, you guys came together with kids already.
Right, I was actually gonna bring that up. I was gonna say my situation's a little different because we got together, both of us had been married before, and we were coming in after divorce. We were coming in with kids already, a blended family. So you have those challenges, well, what you might think might be challenges, bringing kids together that are already a little bit older and, making that mesh and living in the same household. So, but thankfully, our kids got to, they really clicked.
Oh, good.
We have two girls that are basically the same age. They're 4 months apart, so they just went, they were like this. And then our eldest was fine. And my husband has three older sons, so they were already at the house. But, we still had, like you said, he's an actor, I'm an actor. We're trying to do our careers. I'm trying to raise a family. I'm trying to get the household together. I'm trying to make sure he's good, she's good, she's good, she's good. He's, my mom, my dad. It's like we, as women, we take on a lot. And we always want to, I know with me, I'm the type of person, I always want to make sure everyone around me is good. Because that makes me happy when I know everybody else is happy.
But who makes sure you're good?
Yeah, well, the good thing is my husband is very good at making me happy.
Okay.
So that's the good thing. He always makes sure that I'm good. And I love that he checks in with me and he makes sure, I know he sees what I do.
Yeah.
And he makes sure I know you're doing a lot. Come here. Just sit down. Sit down.
Yeah.
Let me massage your neck. So those little things mean so much to me because, like you said, as women, we do take on a lot. And I'm anal. Yeah. I'm always trying to keep everything clean and perfect. And it's hard with a bunch of crazy people in the house that aren't very clean. They're messy and but they see the challenges and they appreciate it. But yeah, it's not easy.
It's hard to admit when you need help though. Yeah.
It is for me.
My doctor told me that I literally had Superman syndrome. This is the thing. What it is when you bypass your level of being tired or emotional or worn down and you keep going, your adrenaline kicks in and you keep going, but your body is taking a beating. So I kept getting sick and I was like, what? And he said, look at this paper. And he showed me and I told him my schedule. So I do radio from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m., right, which means I have to wake up at 2:30 and I usually maybe take a kid to school or, have a meeting or whatever it is. And, sometimes I'm crazy and I stay up till 9, which means I only get 4 hours of sleep. And after day after day after day, my body takes a beating. And my doctor kept saying, it's cute to say you're superwoman, but you're not, right? And so not saying I'm tired and not saying no, especially when you're really driven in your career. This is a really good opportunity. I know I'm tired, but I should do it. There's going to be great people in the room. I need to be there. So do I sacrifice my well-being for that, and having, my husband is really great at saying, babe, just say no, it's fine. I'm going, but am I ever going to be in a room with these people? So that's a balance that you really have to kind of embrace. I'm going to do better at listening when he says these things. Thanks, babe. Cause sometimes I'll be like, no, I'm fine. I'll do it. And then I'm tired. And then he's like, just lay down. And I come home trying to be superwoman, trying to cook and he's like, we actually have a housekeeper, so you can lay down.
Right.
But it's hard. It's the work you do in the relationship and the work you do on yourself. And sometimes those things are in conflict. But if you have a good spouse, if you're with someone that understands, they'll give you the time that you need to get your mind right, get your spirit right, refresh. My husband never complains when I go with my girls. And when I go with my girls, he knows that I'm just not coming back till the morning. I can say
about 11,
about 2, he'll call and say,
see you in the morning. I go, okay. You know, so he allows me to be me, and it's so cool, and I do the same for him. So in your quest to go and do, you have your struggles, his struggles, and then you guys is together. That takes a lot of patience to understand where they are and what they need. Because, you know, men need something totally different from what we need. And it's easy to get really jealous because it seems like they operate quick and don't care. That's not the truth. They just express it different. Mm-hmm. And when you understand that, it keeps you from being pissed off and having an attitude, you know?
Oh, I guess that's I need to understand that. Because I'd be pissed off with an attitude.
No, we can't do it, Cody. We can't.
I mean, I don't think I'm like that most of the time. But we definitely express.
We're all like that, son.
I heard it, but it didn't sound like Tommy. So I'm not even gonna address it. But I do feel like I definitely am. This is not a bashing situation. Like, he fully is aware of like how I know I take on a lot, right? And he has the ability, like as in his character, his personality, to set really strong boundaries, mm-hmm. right? With his time, like with everything that he's doing. And so for me, I try, like Shireen, to be, well, I mean, not like Shireen, because she's doing it successfully. I try to set mine, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I can... I'm gonna go do this. And I find that I'm more preoccupied with like, okay, well, exactly who's watching the kids and exactly what time. Okay, so there's a gap from this time. Okay, so and I end up doing all the work.
But I have found that, and I think women like control. I know when CJ was first born, I wanted to be over Charles's shoulder, like, don't change his diaper like that. And I was like, you know what? I figure it out. And I have to give you the space to figure it out. So I don't want to know the schedule. You know he's your child and somebody needs to watch him. You'll figure out the gap. Yeah. I'm not going to take that on. And I think sometimes we want to take on the whole day. Even dad's part of it. And I'm like, go forth.
I have to tell myself, he's not going to kill them.
Yes.
They will eat.
Yes.
They may not be... They may not be dressed the way I want. Zaya's hair may be all funny.
When we get home.
When I get home, everybody's going to be alive. Okay. Nothing's going to be broken. You know, but sometimes as a woman, that's what you think. Oh, he's not going to, he gonna figure it out the same way. Before I was mom, I was never a mom. I figured it out. You know, let them be dead. And there's something else that I wish moms would stop doing. Saying stuff like, my kids. Yeah. That's like really offensive. To a father who's there, you know, and it speaks the wrong language to your children. It speaks separatism in your house. Separate. And so learning to say our kids, the kids, we and our, like I said, there's a language that goes along with marriage as well. And not I, you and my and we and your family. Because see, when your family come up, you know, when the family comes over, you know.
Oh, because my family is the loud family. My family is a lot of us. And so, you know, I have to tiptoe like Thanksgiving. I tried to ask for Thanksgiving at my house and he gave me an emphatic, very strong no. So, you know, I got Gugu, Tina, Lena, Shante, Lisa, Jasmine, Giselle, Deshanae. I mean, like all of, and all they can, like, it's just a lot. So I understand. But sometimes I'll be like, oh, something wrong with my, you don't like my, oh, we've been together, all, you know. But I know they're a lot, and sometimes they break things. I love you, husband. Oh. Not this year, though.
So what would you all say maybe surprised you about, like, being a wife, right? And I don't know to what extent, especially Erica and Gillian. Well, I don't know if I know for you either. Like, did you sort of grow up knowing that you wanted to be married and having expectations and then getting married? Actually, I do know with you. Yeah. and having expectations that then you had to realize, like, oh, this is different. It's different than what I thought.
Oh. Yeah. It ain't nothing of what you dream about. It's nothing like when you play MASH when you was a little girl and you write a mansion, an apartment, a shack or a house or this kind of car. We're going to have, it's nothing like that. And I was in love with love. I was very overwhelmed. I remember the first, I probably said this at another Black Love Summit. I think the first 2 years I was like, okay, I'm good. All right. So I can take my stuff. You can have this house, have the BMW back. I'll go back to my Jetta. I'll be fine. I got this much money by myself. Like the first year, who knows how to be married? Who knows what this looks like? Who knows how you shift your attitude? If you've been single and doing your thing by yourself, adjusting, especially if you get married. Oh, I was
28 when we got married. You get married older than that, you're pretty set in what you want and how you want. It takes a lot of selflessness, a lot of time, a lot of patience to figure out how to do life together. You know, if he operates different for you, like cabinets open is not a big deal for me. It drives my husband insane.
Right?
Mine
too.
That's small.
Wait, who leaves the cabinets open?
Cabinets open.
And it drives me insane.
Me too. I don't care at all.
Is that a guy thing?
Shut up, Major.
Because I have literally slammed my head so many times into cabinets.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, because that's...
And you're the one leaving them open?
Me?
Oh, I thought you raised your hand.
No. I mean,
no, they don't like... We leave cabinets open.
I leave
they don't
cabinets open. Oh, no. I do, and Tommy brings it up, and I'm like, then close
I'm
it.
I'm like, it's a cabinet closet. Right.
Doesn't bother me.
Right.
Bothers you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I think learning that my husband didn't read my mind was really hard. Ooh. So when I first got married, we had this big, beautiful house. You know, we was on that Fresh Shackles money. So we was in this big, beautiful house. And he would be in the studio and I would be in the room just posted waiting for him to come upstairs. And he's going to come up here any minute. And, you know, all the things you see, he's going to have flowers. He's going to tell me how pretty I am. And we're going to make love on this bed. It's all going to be great. And I'd be up there and I'd hear him moving around the kitchen. And I'm still posted waiting. And then... he eats the food or whatever. I was like, okay, well, he was hungry. He's fine. I'll wait, you know. And then I hear the video game. I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So then I take all the sexy stuff off and just come and I stand in the kitchen. But I still want to be noticed. I still want him to see me. I want him to come in and going, where's my lovely wife? I didn't. My crazy stuff. Why didn't I just go down and say, hey, babe, welcome home? I wanted him to notice me and see me. Now, when you come from a big family and... it's a whole bunch of other layers. Why, you know, once before you get to marriage, shut up, Major. There's so many other things before you get there. How you thought, how you felt. If you felt rejection, if you weren't a big family, if you felt seen in that family, if you're the one that did everything. All those things play a part in how you operate in your marriage. And I wanted, because I come from a big family and then a big church family, I wanted him to see me in a way that I hadn't been seen before. He didn't know how to do that, you know? And I blamed him for that. I thought that the marriage was bad because of that. And because I grew up with good girl syndrome, I didn't say it. I just was like, that's fine, you know? And I'd have problems with things and not say it. And I realized that's very unfair. When you have a problem with something, you hold someone hostage, but you never told them,
yeah.
You know? You know how you have that conversation, you say you need to talk, and they drop their head to the side like...
You can't use the words "we need to talk." Like, you have to figure out.
You have to say it different. You have to just start talking.
Yeah.
Because, like, they freeze up when you say "we need to talk," like, immediately. But learning to allow him to be a husband is something his father said to him that helped me tremendously. Mm. He said, there's no switch in your back once you get married that's going, okay, now you know how to be married. Y'all got to figure this out together. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I thought he had it already because men are just supposed to know. And
they don't.
They don't know. Somebody said that earlier. Was it Marcus? He was like, they don't know. We don't know.
But we don't know either. We're all figuring this out together and giving each other grace. Having patience. The scripture says having long suffering. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't keep score. You know, love covers faults. All those things. That's what love is. Love is not what the world says. It's not, you do me dirty, I'm throwing you away. It's not this list. And if you miss one thing on my list, you're done. It's not, you said something wrong to me and I don't like, it's not what the world says. And I promise you, y'all know I'm churchy, right? If you learn to keep God and God's design for love is better than anybody else's design. I'm telling you, it's not this closed-minded, can't have, can't do. It's so freeing, so liberating, so eye-opening, but so warm and welcoming. It's so safe. It's so mature. It's so wise. It makes you want to hold on it. It makes you want to tell other people. It makes you look at your spouse and be like, man, I'm proud I'm with you. Not just I love you, I lust you, but I'm literally proud of being with you and what this looks like and how what legacy we'll leave for the world, you know?
So to that point, and I want to ask you a question, and then I want to ask Gillian a question, but how long did that take for you to do all that appreciating of the challenges?
That's it. At one day one, y'all. I ain't fronting at all. We've been married 20 years, probably 2 years ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Not 2 years ago.
No, it took some time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes some time, and you don't know when it'll hit you. It comes when you decide that's what you want.
Yeah.
When you start being in the marriage to be in a marriage.
And you can
together,
decide
a partnership
at any point. Like, that, yeah. I would say that's what we've learned from interviewing so many couples is, like, the decision to be committed is a decision that you make every day. And to recognize, like, to recognize what you're saying and just say, okay, I'm going to be in this. And I'm going to make the, not make the most of it, but, like, constantly figure out how to make it the best it can be.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious for you guys who, you know, well, I'm not just curious. I've obviously sat down and interviewed you, so I know y'all just, and y'all heard it. They blissfully happy. Okay, we get it. But so do you hear that and you're like, we came into it with this perspective and we were able to appreciate each other from the jump?
Well, you know, with me, so like I said, I had already come from a marriage and had a divorce, and it wasn't a great marriage. You guys already heard from my husband. He said I walked the tightrope. Because I came from a bad marriage, and I was, when I ended my marriage, I was distrustful, I had hangups, I was honestly that angry, bitter black woman, I really was, and I was kind of like, I'm good by myself right now, I don't need a man, I don't trust men, you know, I was that, I had that mentality, and it took this guy, my husband, who I had known for a very long time, because we had dated back in the day, for him to... I remember one day he told me, he said, I lost you one time before. I will never lose you again. If I got the opportunity to get you back, you think I'm gonna do something ever again to lose you? So I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
And all that vulnerability I had and that wall I had up, I let it go. And when I let that go, it was like,
right.
Seriously, it was, and that's why I tell a lot of women, I'm like, because a lot of us come from relationships that are bad, and we hold all that, and then we take it into the next marriage or relationship, and we use it against that guy. Well, you just, you know, and you can't do that. I had to let go of all that anger I felt, all that hurt, all that resentment, and open myself completely for absolute love and devotion to this guy. And when I did, it was like, I've never had a relationship this good in my life. And that's why when people always make fun of us, they're always going like going to like, y'all can't be that happy. I'm like, no, I actually am, because I've been through the trenches.
Wait,
and I got out and I am in the light of happiness and love. And I'm so thankful for it. So, yeah, to answer your question, the appreciation is 10 times more because of what I went through.
We interviewed them so early in the Black Love process. Like, we started doing interviews in 2014, and nobody saw the show until 2017. And we sat down. When did y'all get married? 2015, right?
Yeah.
And we interviewed you, like, 2 months later.
Exactly.
So, like, the show didn't come out for 2 years. And I'm editing, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with them. They're so happy. Like, there's nothing. There's, like, literally, I don't have.
She actually emailed me and told me that. She's like, y'all are too. I don't know where to put y'all in these segments.
Like, the show was coming out. I had to email them and be like, look, we really do love you guys, but you're not going to be in this show, right? Like, I got them. I think it was in season two that we did the second time around. Yes, we did a whole episode second time around. So, you know, blissful little happiness is great there. Yeah. But it was like, there was nothing I could. I could do nothing with that before.
I think it's possible to have it, you know, if you've done the work. I think it's possible, but I'm naturally optimistic, right? So I think it's possible if you have it, if you do the work, you know what I mean? If you put the time in, and then you can't put the time in by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, it's one-sided, and it's not always the woman. You know, sometimes it's one-sided, but when you both want the same thing, I think it's possible to have that happily ever after, you know?
What you got, Shireen?
No, I was, to your point, I think you choose that happily ever after, though.
I
think the grass is greener where you water it. You can look at anyone's marriage and say, like, wow, her husband says that. Why don't you do that? And it's like, but you're skipping over all the good things.
Right.
And I think for me, I was sometimes, like, so focused on what he wasn't doing. I was like, but what is he doing? And that's good too. Like, he shows up. I know where he is. He plays his video game, but at least you're in the house. I can see you. So I'm like, even in the negative, I'm like, what's my positive from it? Like, you could have a hobby that takes you out of our home, but you have a hobby that keeps you on our couch.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go watch my trash TV while you finish this up. But I think for me, getting married was figuring out that love is, it's the butterflies, it's the tingles, it's all those things you read about, but it's also like paying bills and taking out the trash and are we going to pay off this debt? Like, I think it's those things too. And I think it's showing up for your partner and saying like, I'm going to choose to be here. I'm going to choose through the mundaneness to have moments of spontaneity and love those. But I'm also going to, sometimes maybe we got to schedule like, okay, you got a break at 3 and I got a break at 3. Let's have lunch in our bedroom.
Right.
So
maybe in a room.
Yeah. I'm like, it's that too. And I think it's going through those highs and those lows with that person and saying like, you're my person. I'm going to continue to water this grass. Even when I don't like you, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to push through those feelings. And just like, would you, I always say, I'm like, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Like, you don't have to argue about everything. Sometimes you could just be like, you know what? I'm just going to let that roll off my back.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to make today a good day because I could blow it up and make it a bad day, but I'm going to choose to make it a good day. And I think for me, that was a big part of like getting over that arguing. And I think everyone, when you get married, there's this arguing hump of like, because you said you guys were older, but we were younger when we got married. So it was like, we were figuring out life together. I'm like, we don't have no money. I'm like, how are we paying for this? And my husband has big dreams. And I'm like, how are we paying for this?
Right.
Who gonna pay for it?
Yeah.
But I think too, like you're saying with the arguing and stuff like that, you know, I'm real big on letting go of that ego. Because I really feel like in relationships, when there's two egos bumping heads against each other, I mean, it is, it just creates so much extraness. It's like, and a lot of times when you sit there and when you go back and you think about it, you're like, that was really unnecessary. That argument was so, it just blew up because you got this ego and this ego. Now you're defensive and you're defensive. Now we're going at it. And then you're like, for what?
Yeah.
You know? And I think with my husband and I, we both just kind of came to a conclusion of letting it go.
Yeah.
Like we're a team,
yeah.
You know, we got to work together and it's just, And it's so much energy. It's draining when you're going through arguing. It's so, you know, and all it is ego. It's just ego.
And
you want to be right. You want
to
be right. And somebody want
to
be right.
I would like to ask you guys, how do you come out of an argument? Like after, how do you get back to, okay, I like you again?
That's what I was going to say. I argue, and then 5 minutes later, I'm like, okay, I'm done. Like, can we just be in love again? Like, so.
My husband's that way.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll hold the argument.
I still be mad.
He knows. He knows. I look out the window, and I blink really slow, and he'll ask me something. I go, yes. Or he'll try to tell a joke. I'll be like,
and he never says how long you're going to be mad, but he knows that I still have an attitude. And then I just go, okay, Erica, this is dumb. He didn't apologize. Y'all got past it. Why do you still have an attitude?
But I'm still 20 years in.
Still working on it.
How does Charles respond to that when you...
He knows my tactics. Like, I'll try to hug him, and he's like, get off me. But I can feel him succumbing to the hug, so I strong arm him. But I think for us, like, we kind of balance. At some point, someone's going to break, and then we have moments. Like, I think when we were younger in our dating, we would, like, go days without talk, like, not talk the whole day. And now it's like, okay, but it's been 30 minutes. And I got to tell you, CJ did something cute, and I want to tell you. So, I mean, to your point, it's like letting go of that ego. We had the argument. It's over. Are we going to agree to disagree? Let's move past it. It's fine. Neither of us is too big to say, I'm sorry. Like, he just left for Chicago. We had an argument right before. And in the morning, he was like, I dreamt about telling you I'm sorry. And I don't know why. But I was like, does this mean an apology is coming?
He's like, no, I just had the dream.
Yeah, that's where he took it. He was like, no, it was in the dream. I was unsure why I was dreaming that. But yeah, I'm like, it's going back to the love. Like, I'm like, to your point, you're so tired.
It's draining.
It's very draining.
It's so draining. It's easier to be happy.
It really is.
Choose happiness. That is so much easier.
Choose happiness. The few times that we've had arguments, my husband and I don't even want to say arguments, there's more disagreements. It's because of miscommunication.
Yeah.
It's always you thinking I said, or he's, you know, and it's like, and then at the end of the argument, to answer your question, that's explained. It's like, well, I thought you said this. Well, no, that's not what I said. I said, oh, shoot. Okay, I heard you wrong, or I misunderstood you. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, so that's what we were arguing about? You know, and then it's just like cool again because it's always me. Can I tell you guys a funny story really quick? Nope. I gotta tell you a funny story. The first argument we had, I gotta tell you, so we were in Africa and it was dark and we were in, I mean, it was lions. It was all kind of stuff around us in the dark. And a man was leading us with just a stick.
Oh, my God.
Back to our cabin. My husband hurt his leg. I didn't know he hurt his leg. So I'm trying to get through the darkness. The guy's like, it's lions and hippos and all that. I'm like, oh, no, I'm trying to go. So I'm walking fast, and I'm forgetting that my husband's leg is hurt. So he's way in the back in the dark, and I'm with the guy with the stick and the flashlight. And my husband got so mad at me, and I didn't understand why, but I honestly didn't hear him when he was saying, my leg is hurt, slow down. I didn't hear him. And we got into, like, you know, we kind of blew up. But it was simply because I just didn't hear him.
Yeah.
But he thought I heard him. He thought I'm intentionally leaving him. So it was like, you know, in the dark with the lions and the tigers and the bears. Oh, my. And I'm like,
you don't care.
Yeah, like I didn't care. But it was so, when it was over, it was like, oh, man, I was so silly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't hear me. You thought I heard you. And this blew up like that. So it's like sometimes just the silliest things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna let rough. I'm gonna let Erica. How do you get through an argument?
No, Cody, we want to hear from you.
You know, it's been an evolution for sure, right? Like, I definitely think there's more work to be done on both ends.
Yes.
But it's, I would say now we can argue a little better. We can argue and make up a lot more easily than we used to, and I will say we probably have a lot less arguments, fewer. And I would say therapy has helped. Me going to therapy and him talking to my therapist about me / us has helped a lot. I think us just see each other better. I mean, honestly, to me, that was a turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, I would actually credit everything to that because I was going to say even being more communicative. But I would say that started with having this third person, you know. And to speak on therapy for a second, right? Like, know that there's not one size fits all because we have definitely gone to therapy before, you know, more than one time. And sort of finding someone that just worked, right? Yeah. Like, it wasn't that case earlier. But that has been very helpful. But when we argue, I am probably the person that holds on to it more. I don't think that Tommy says I'm sorry enough. He knows that. I'm not out here snitching. You know, he knows. And so I think we have to work on those things, right? Because I will hold on. I will hold on.
It's hard when they're okay and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you really just want them to acknowledge that you're not. And, you know, they'll just go on and, you know, be talking to you and you're like, I need an I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I need a whole.
Right. I need to hear it.
Babe, I didn't mean it. And me and Warren we're not like big arguers, but we can have like differences. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so
yes.
It doesn't appear to be an argument. So we can literally be in the bed and have this whole thing. And then he wants sex after. And I'm like, I still
I'm
have
mad.
An attitude. Like, I don't.
I'm mad. No.
Right. I'm mad. No, thank you. No.
But I didn't say I was mad. I didn't, for me, I didn't express it.
Yeah.
So being very direct, which is not my strong suit, being very direct, makes it challenging. You know what I mean? Because how can he be held accountable for something that he didn't know?
Yeah.
He's like, I just thought we had a difficult conversation and we're just finna get it in a minute. Now I'm just like.
It was a difficult conversation.
I don't, you know. Because we have difficult, especially with business, you know, music, the kids, the church, producing, TV, you know, all these things. There's a lot to discuss and sometimes we don't see eye to eye. And I have to remember, am I mad at my producer or my pastor or my husband or my baby daddy or my business partner? It's just too many people wrapped up in this one,
guys. But see,
that's
my thing too. Okay, so we have that same dynamic.
Right, right.
And so for me, and he likes to be like, this is a business conversation. And I'm like, okay, but you're my husband and you're like, you're getting on my nerves. Like, at the end of the day, this is a business conversation and you think that I shouldn't like carry that over.
Mm-hmm.
But I am. Like, I'm mad.
Because if they weren't one and the same and you left work and you were mad, you would come home and you would fuss.
Yes.
But I'm at work with you and now I'm at home with you, so I'm still fussing.
You're the same dude
you're
that
the
pissed
same
me
guy.
Off an hour ago. It didn't change.
But making the decision, to you guys' point that you were saying earlier, making the decision to be at peace, making the decision to say, you know, I was upset, but I don't want to be upset anymore. You know what I mean? I'd rather have good communication and laugh with you.
I think for me, too, is like tabling discussions. We don't have to figure... this doesn't even affect us today. We don't need to figure this out today. And I think especially when you do business with your partner, it's like, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's take a breather. Let's table it to tomorrow. And just like when you see it going down a dark path.
Yeah. And you can really like stop talking and not be mad no more.
Yeah. I'll just be like, you know, but
how you do that?
That makes two of them.
Table this tomorrow and then your anger just leave and then it come back tomorrow when it's time to talk at noon.
Well, hopefully tomorrow I'm not angry anymore. But I know for me, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to argue. I don't want to argue about this. So let's table, like, let's not talk about it. And I think we both do that to each other. And sometimes it can piss the other one off. Because, like, if he wants to keep talking about it, I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, let's table it.
I will say, and I had this
epiphany. We should try that, Cody.
We'll see.
Pray for
us. I had this epiphany, like, in the moment just now. Thinking about, and this, you know, everything is different for everybody. But, like, we do work together. And I am mad. If I'm mad, right? Like, if it's a work-related mad, I'm mad. Like, and what I realized just now is that for us, I think it benefits us to sort of treat, I don't want to say treat all arguments the same, but treat them the same. Like, whether it's work or whether it's personal, if you have, because it's not just a disagreement. A work disagreement, like, should we spend this on this or not? Should we do this that day? Like, that's not, you know, we're talking about, like, heavier things, yeah. Right, when we're really arguing. And if we're arguing and I feel hurt, mm-hmm. work-wise or husband-wife-wise, mm-hmm. I still want that hurt to be repaired or to be addressed.
Acknowledged, yes.
So for me and for us, I think the process needs to be the same. Mm-hmm. It has to be because I'm going to be mad.
But it can't always be the same. And for me, sometimes I'll go back to the fact that we're on the same team. Yeah. You know, we're on the same team. I do really like you, and I love you. So whatever this is, I'll calm down in a minute, and we can work through it. And talking myself off the ledge, mm-hmm. I try to do that a lot. Or, you know, my married sisters, I'll text them all my mad, and then I'll be fine. That's just as long as he doesn't pick up my phone.
Yeah, true that. True that. And on that note, right, about texting, so I'm curious for you guys. I remember when I first got married, and I feel like I had heard, and there's truth to it, but like, don't tell nobody your problems. And as a result, I felt like very alone. I felt like I couldn't ever tell anybody my problem because you're like letting someone into your marriage. Yeah. But I felt like I didn't have anyone to talk to. And so I had to learn. First off, we're very fortunate to have done Black Love, and our marriage village became, I'm gonna tell Erica my problems, and I'm gonna tell Melanie Clark, who was here earlier, you know, like you know, I could talk to people who I knew had, as I say, my marriage's back.
Yes.
Right? It wasn't just about me or him. Is that Tommy? It wasn't just about me or him. It was like about us.
Yes.
And so did you all experience that ever, even if it was like your first marriage or, you know, but just that feeling of like, well, who can I talk to?
I've always believed in the village. Always, always, always. Whether it is, you know, my sisters or my girls, my group of friends I call the G's, and then I got another group of married friends. I've always been blessed with a village. And everybody isn't privy to the same information, but there's always somebody that I can at least call on, lean on, cry to. And I can honestly say everyone's always given me messages or answers that was pro the marriage. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever said, girl, forget it. Or, you know, they always go, well, think about this side. Or could my sisters even do that? I'd be like, dang, you, my sister, be on my side. But they're always trying to get to the place of what's the right thing for y'all. You know, I don't want to say anything that's going to cause you to, you know, go further to the left than you are. So having somebody to talk to, knowing who to talk to, you can't tell everybody your stuff, you know. And when you find out, you know, that you've been sharing with somebody that doesn't have your best interest at heart, it hurts. But you can live anything down. It doesn't mean, and like the people say, oh, there's a reality curse. I don't believe that. I believe if your marriage was trash before the cameras, when the cameras come on, they're going to see the trash. The TV didn't make the trash. You already trash.
That's fair.
Sorry, that sounds really harsh, huh? Sorry. But you know what I mean? Like if y'all had something there that you weren't dealing with, it's only going to illuminate. And so depending on who's around you, you can illuminate certain things. I remember we were hanging out with a couple and that is actually no longer married. And she was ripping her husband to shreds. And it was like, you know how women get together, girl, he don't do this and he don't do this and, he don't do this, right? And so, I
joined in the reindeer games. When we left, before we even pulled out, he said, we don't talk to each other. We don't do that. He was like, why did you do that? Like, that didn't feel good.
I learned that I can talk about it immediately from him, from that. But also, if my marriage ain't bad and you saying yours is bad, I'm just going to say, oh, my husband don't do that, girl. You know what I mean? Sometimes you don't want people to feel bad that you're not in a bad place. So you sometimes, like, they're talking about bad stuff and you actually are happy. It's okay to just be happy, you know? And if everybody doesn't get that, and everybody won't. So you may share with somebody that has a whole different interpretation and you go, that's not what I meant, and I didn't want you to take that. That's the hard thing even about being on something like Black Love, because some people understood, some people did not. Some people's like, girl, I found out on the show. I was like, hey, it wasn't a show when we first started talking to him. I thought I was just talking to two people, and I think that's the difference between...
There were cameras, Erica.
I know, but I didn't know it was going to be on OWN. When you called us 2 years later, I was like, it's going to be on OWN. Me and Warren went, uh-oh. But we told the truth, and we told it in love. And I felt like if you tell your truth in love, no matter where it lands, love will still be there. Even if they have bad intentions, even if they're mean and evil and don't like love, if you told your truth in love, love will protect that information. Not that people won't say bad things, but you don't have to let it affect you, you know? You can make the choice, like, I don't care what they say. I don't care what you said.
Well, y'all two answer that. I want to also see if we have any questions. So my team can get the microphone if so. If not, that's okay too.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I actually agree with you. Like on the part where you were saying, you know, you sit back like, I don't know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
That's me a lot now, but it wasn't me before. So when I'm in a situation like that where I am around women who are bashing and bad mouthing, yeah. I don't want to ever come across like, well, I have the perfect guy.
Right, right.
I don't want to do that, you know, even though I kind of think I do. But no, I don't ever want to come across like that, you know. So what I try to pull up on my past experiences. Mm-hmm. And so that I can relate. I'll let you know. Look, I can relate. Yeah. I've been there. I know what you've been through. I've been through this, and I get it. And so I'll talk about that stuff. But I'm never going to make up something or try to join in just to kind of fit in, you know, because I just, like you said, it doesn't make you feel good. And then later, like, why would I do that? Yeah, so, you know, it's. I think when you can relate in some way, you can always, you know, give information to help others. So
Absolutely. I think, to your point, like, I think that's like a Black thing, growing up hearing, like, you don't tell the house's business.
Yes.
But I think it can be isolating, and then you don't realize that other people are going through the same thing as you.
Yes.
And they might be able to help you.
Yeah.
And you're holding it on, trying to figure it out by yourself when you don't have to. And I think God does give us a village, and it's like, he's like, use the people I've put here to help you get through. You don't have to do it by yourself. I do sometimes think when you're going through issues, whatever they are, it can be sometimes like embarrassment.
Yes.
You don't want to share because you're embarrassed that, like, maybe you're not showing up or he's not showing up. But I think if you are with people who love you and see you, like, they're like, okay, well, how are we gonna help you get through this?
Yeah.
I think we all know the people we can trust and love who have our best interests. You know, you kind of know which ones to stay away from. And,
and it's hard.
I ain't telling you nothing.
And it's hard to be And sometimes it's hard to be vulnerable with people and say, like, because I think, especially when you get married, people are like, how y'all doing? Are y'all so happy?
Right?
Yeah. It's hard to be like, we're kind of not.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like figuring out who you can trust, tapping those right people, and really kind of like surrounding yourself with people who are rooting for your marriage,
right,
who want you to win. And when I, you know, even when I think back to my wedding, I think back to the people that were there, and I'm like, those are the people that were like, I was there when y'all said y'all I do's, and I hope, you know, it never gets to an end point, but really just kind of leaning into my village and like talking to them or texting my group chat and getting it off my chest and then moving on.
Yeah. Knowing that you can get it out is really nice, especially without judgment.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any questions out here? If there's not, that's okay. Okay. So y'all are perfect spouses. I get it. Judging us. No.
How many, is everybody married in here?
Oh no.
How many singles in the room?
Wow.
I love it. I love it. Okay. I appreciate y'all being here. And I've had, yes. And also, all the single men in the room, look at the single ladies that raise their hands.
Come on.
Please. Yeah. Oh, you have a question? Go for it, girl.
Ladies, how soon is too soon for premarital counseling?
I don't think it's ever.
I'm trying to remember who told us recently. I think it was Faith Jenkins and Kenny Lattimore who told us that they started it like pre-engagement. And somebody else told us that too. I remember like we heard it maybe 3 times in a month. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's amazing because if you're both intentioned, you have the same intentions, right? I want to get married one day and I think that this person might be it. It's never too soon because you're able to learn things and ask questions that you may not be able to. And as I think they put it to us, to me and Tommy, it's like once you're engaged, is you really going to just be like, never mind, the therapy didn't work. You know, you've already told people you're engaged, you took the pictures, you posted to Instagram. You know, like, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't going to just call it off.
Right.
And so the sooner you, like, really talk to someone, I mean, I'm a big proponent of therapy, but the sooner you engage a premarital counselor, some sort of expert in the space, mm-hmm. Or watch a lot of Black Love, whatever, the sooner you can really suss out whether it could work.
Thank you.
It's my little 2 cents. Okay, I know Tyra's looking at me like, girl, let's move on. So, ladies, I appreciate you for joining me today and like sharing your vulnerability. First off, sharing your vulnerability for the show in the first place. These are all Black Love wives, y'all. Hey, hey. So, yes, I appreciate you so much. Can't wait to do it again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for showing the world what our love looks like, the ups and downs, the good and bads. And I saw a statistic that said there was a 70% increase in marriages, in Black marriages, over the last 5 years. I think y'all got something to do with that.
Yeah. That was on camera, right? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.